Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of 100 at 100, a series of interviews with researchers on the campus of the University of Texas at El Paso. Today's guest is Professor Sarah Gruneski, and she's from the Department of Sociology. And Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tell us, what do you do? What is your research focus?
I am a sociologist who studies social and environmental inequalities. And so that means that I take a social perspective and I look at socioeconomic factors or sociodemographic factors that shape one's health and also the environmental conditions in which one lives.
Why is that important?
It's very important because when you start to think about human health and issues in the area of human health, we know that biology is really important and someone's genetics and the makeup of their body, but that body exists in a social space. And so individuals, because of their social characteristics, have very different experiences which can influence their health. So if you want to, the sociological perspective is, if you really want to understand health, you have to look not only at the person's body, but also the conditions that surround that person.
You know, a lot of people who don't have access to lots of money tend to live in places where factories spew out nasty materials.
Definitely. The environment is a key factor. And some of the work we've done here in El Paso has found just that, those patterns of environmental injustice, where low-income individuals, Hispanic individuals, and especially Hispanic individuals who are also low-income, live in neighborhoods that have higher exposure to cancer-causing air toxics.
How do you go about getting the data for this?
Well, to do that type of study, that type of environment, distributional environmental justice study, the classic way of doing it is to use secondary data. So using census data for neighborhoods, and then the Environmental Protection Agency publishes this data called the National Air Toxics Assessment, where they actually publish once every 5 to 8 years a spatial distribution of air toxics based on what's being admitted from different sources. And so in terms of factories, it is self-reported data. The factory tells you what they're reporting, but they're required by law to do so. And then they also use sort of complex modeling techniques to figure out where pollutants move through space. And so we use secondary data to do that type of assessment.
The word justice in this seems to imply that there's something almost illegal about having poor people live in a particular part of town or urban environments where there's going to be more pollution. But I mean, that goes back to supply and demand. The houses are cheaper because people recognize it's not such a desirable location. How do you cure that? Is it really justice or is it just the system?
Well, one could make the argument that the system itself is unjust, right? If you look at the history of the United States, the history of urban development, racial segregation, you have patterns whereby today, and in fact, we have a student who just defended her thesis on this very topic about immigrant communities and environmental justice and how immigrants might choose, quote unquote, to live in an area where the rents are cheap and there are co-ethnic people nearby that provide support. But to really understand that as an environmental injustice, you have to look at the process through which those barrios became minority barrios and the history of urban segregation.
Is there much you can do about this in the long term?
Well, I think there's definitely things that can be done. They're not necessarily easy solutions, right, in terms of making production processes cleaner, right, innovating with technology to make factories pollute less or release fewer emissions. But there's also, I think there's certainly a history of social justice activism around issues of environmental justice in this country that have, in some cases, created situations of cleaner environments for some communities.
Sarah Gruneski from the Department of Sociology, thank you for being here. This has been 100 at 100, research for our next century in celebration of the 100th birthday of the University of Texas at El Paso. And my name is Keith Pannell. Thank you.